This is Dr. Jimmy Nichols, equine nutritionist. On this podcast, we will explore unique cases, debunk popular myths, and break down advanced research data. Join me for a little fun, a lot of science, and some real-world advice for feeding horses. Hey, it's Dr. Jimmy. All right, what are some common sayings that you guys have heard about horses? Some that come to my mind. Ah, you know, God must have taken the day off when he made the horse. Or those old things were just a bunch of hay burners. Another one that I hear is the only thing a horse is good for is turning money into manure. All right. And I'm sure that there are a hundred of other ones that you guys have heard. And I mean, as much as we love horses, there is definitely one truth that remains. They are not very efficient when it comes to what they eat, right? So this episode, and actually the one following this, are going to explain what makes a horse different from other four-legged farm animals, okay, as far as their digestive system. And then I'm going to talk about how that affects them. So the main things, the issues that can occur along the way through the digestive tract, and then how we can feed them or how we can address them to help prevent those issues from happening. But before we get into the episode, I want to encourage each of you to share this podcast with all of your friends on social media, and please use the hashtag FeedRoomChemists so that we can see what episodes are having the most impact on your lives, and then, of course, do more episodes like that, okay? So let's dive into the equine digestive tract. So the first thing we're going to start out talking about is the mouth. And I think that the mouth in general is really overlooked when people start to think about the digestive tract. I think it's easy for people to just jump quickly to the stomach or the hindgut or, these certain areas within the abdomen of the horse. But the digestive tract really starts at the mouth. Okay, so let's talk about the lips. The horse has what are called prehensile lips or a prehensile upper lip, actually, I should say. And so basically what that means is that upper lip is capable of grasping things. So when a horse is out eating grass, the upper lip really helps to kind of grab and grasp that forage. And then when the horse is eating grain, that horse is really good at sorting things, all right? So, I don't know if you have ever owned a horse where they literally could sort supplements out of their grain. Or, the horses that maybe are on like a textured or a sweet feed where they eat all of the oats and maybe the corn, and then they completely separate out that protein or pellet or that vitamin mineral pellet that's in the grain. Some horses are just really, really, really good at sorting out exactly what they want out of their grain. And they're able to do that because of that prehensile upper lip. The next piece of the mouth that is very important and often overlooked is the tongue. And the tongue is basically responsible for moving food from the front of the mouth all the way to the back of the mouth and keeping it in a spot where those molars that are in the back of the jaw can really get a good grind on that food. And then ultimately moving that food to the esophagus. While I'm on the topic of teeth and getting a good grind on that food, I think that probably if you think about what is the main issue in the mouth, the most common issue that horse owners deal with is teeth condition. Okay, so horses have what are called hypsodont teeth, which basically means they are high crown teeth and they grow continuously. So since they grow continuously, they also need to wear continuously. And so horses' teeth will wear naturally as that horse grinds their food. And, it's really important for us as horse owners to make sure that we are paying attention to the quality of those teeth to make sure that that horse is getting an appropriate grind done on his own. And the reality is most horses are not, okay? So a lot of horses have dental conditions that can actually cause them to have digestive issues later on after they swallow the food. So they could have things like, an underbite. They could have an overbite. They might have what are called hooks or ramps on those molars. They could have points. They could have a wave mouth, meaning those molars aren't wearing off levelly. There's like a wave going on through those molars. Step mouth is another one where certain teeth are higher and lower than others. And so it kind of is like these little steps. They're very dramatic up and down. You know, and then if you think more towards the front of the mouth, you know, horses can have really sharp canines. So those typically will sit in between, kind of in that spot where the bit would typically lie. So in between the incisors, which are the front teeth, and the molars, which are the back teeth. So between there, a lot of horses could have sharp canines, and those need to be filed down. Or horses could also even have wolf teeth, which are these really little tiny teeth that will typically protrude out like right next to the beginning of the molars. And that can be really, really painful for a horse if that wolf tooth is left in there, because the bit will actually start to hit that, and it can cause a lot of pain. In fact, you could get into situations where the bit, you know, if a horse was in a bad situation where someone was really rough with their hands, the bit could actually even chip like a little piece of that wolf tooth off, which could then cause an infection and a lot of pain. So there are tons and tons of things that can go wrong in the horse's mouth. And most of those things are going to be related to the horse's teeth. So, you know, if as a horse owner, the one thing that you can do to help make sure that, you know, the digestive health of your horse starts out appropriately is to get routine dental work done on your horse. You know, my general rule of thumb is get your horse's teeth looked at least every 12 months. And if you have a horse that you know is dealing with, say, parrot mouth or an underbite, okay, that's something that we know is going to then cause issues farther back in the mouth. So hooks and ramps, those horses, you may have to have them looked at every 6 months, okay, just to make sure that, you know, those hooks and ramps are staying filed down and you're not running into any issues. You know, and even if you've got a horse that, you know, appears to be keeping good body weight, sometimes I'll have people say, well, my horse is maintaining body condition really good. It looks good from the outside. You know, he's not dropping feed. He's not quitting hay. So I don't really need to get his teeth done. Well, the reality of that is a horse that their mouth is allowed to go long periods of time without being properly maintained, those horses can still develop really sharp points on their teeth, particularly on their molars. And those sharp points can actually cause ulcers and very sore spots on the insides of the cheeks and also on the sides of the tongue. And so, you know, those things aren't necessarily going to cause their body condition to go bad, unless, of course, the horse got so sore that he quit eating. But most commonly, those sore spots on their tongue or on their cheek, those are going to cause that horse to not be as responsive to you as a rider. So they might start, you know, flinging their head one direction. They might, you know, start being resistant going one way versus the other. So there's all kinds of little things that, you know, that soreness within that mouth that we can't see, that horse will try to tell us. So if you pay really good attention and you know that you're riding a horse that you're not sure when their teeth were done last, I highly, highly, highly recommend that you go get them checked out. So moving then from the mouth, the next place you go is to the esophagus. And the esophagus is basically, it's about 4.5 feet long, and it's a one-way only tube, okay? So a horse whose body is functioning properly does not have the ability to eructate or to burp. They also don't have the ability to vomit, okay? So if you think about, let's think about dogs or cats, for example. If they eat something and it doesn't set well with their stomach, they just vomit it back up, all right? And then no big deal, they go on with life. Well, if a horse eats something that doesn't set well with its stomach, there's no other way for it to go other than to continue through the digestive tract. And so that's one reason I think that horses, you know, tend to experience colic more often, right? I mean, whatever you put in that horse's mouth is going through his body one way or the other. Unless, you know, you get in a situation where you've got something seriously bad going on and you can get a vet to actually pump the stomach. That's the only way to get something back out of a horse's stomach. So I would say that one of the main issues or most common issues that affects the esophagus is choke. Okay. So choke in horses is not the same as choke in humans. With humans, choke is blocking the trachea. Okay. So that means that we couldn't get air if we had food or something lodged in our trachea.
Now with horses, choke happens in the esophagus. So that's just the where the food would typically go down to the stomach. So the horse can still breathe. That's not necessarily the concern. The concern is that the horse then can't swallow that food. If there's a bolus of food that they didn't chew properly, or didn't get enough saliva mixed in with before they swallowed, then that food is kind of dry and it's a little bit sticky and it can actually hang up in the esophagus. So typically a horse that's choking, you know, you'll see them hanging their head down low. If the food sits there for a while and it's not addressed and it's not taken care of, you can actually get some saliva buildup, some fluids that then will start draining back out of the horse's nostrils. Okay. And that can actually be really dangerous because if the fluid, so when the horse puts his head down, the, you know, gravity is going to carry that fluid back down and out his nostrils. Now, if he puts his head back up and can't keep his head down, that fluid can then actually back drain and end up going down the trachea or the windpipe. And that's when fluid can actually, you know, we call it aspiration, and they can actually get aspiration pneumonia, and some pretty terrible things can happen to a horse if they are choking and we don't realize that they're doing it and they're left for a period of time and then they end up aspirating or breathing in some of those particles. You know, sometimes that will happen if a horse is on a trailer, especially if you've got a trailer with mangers and that horse, you know, is eating and, you know, ends up choking and they can't get their head down to let that fluid drain because the manger is, you know, blocking their ability to put their head down. And so in those situations, especially if you're driving for a long period of time and you don't realize that that horse is back there dealing with that, that can be a situation where that horse could then aspirate and end up with pneumonia. So, you know, what can you do when you notice that a horse is choking? Definitely get a hold of your vet. You know, they can help walk you through what to do. A lot of times will either come to you or they'll have you bring the horse in. They may give that horse some muscle relaxers, some, you know, smooth muscle relaxers to help him get that down. They may lavage. There's kind of a series of different things that they may do. But ultimately, as a horse owner, from a prevention standpoint, that's the best approach. So, you know, the things that will help prevent choke in horses is, number one, feed those horses low to the ground. Okay, so if you can feed your hay, you know, in feeders on the ground or on, you know, don't put your hay on dirt, on sand, because we don't want the horses to ingest sand, which can then lead to sand colic. But if you can feed that hay, you know, low to the ground in a certain kind of feeder, if you feed your grain on the ground in pans, you can place large fist-sized smooth stones in those pans, and it forces the horses to have to eat around those stones, and they have to move the stones around before they can eat stuff. That'll help slow down the rate in which they eat their grain. So it's called bolting. When a horse eats too fast, it's called bolting, and bolting is the primary cause for a horse choking. So number one, if their teeth are not maintained properly and they can't get a good chew, then number two, if they bolt their feed, which means they swallow it before they've grinded it completely, and they've not given themselves enough time to let the saliva moisten it. Okay, those are the two main reasons that a horse will choke. Another thing that you can do, there's actually these really cool feed buckets out there now that have these holes that are built into the bottom of it, but they're like, think of them more like valleys. They're just like little indentions. And so the grain will settle down into these indentions, and the horses have to use their lips and pull the grains out of those little indentions in order to eat it. So those are really effective at slowing a horse down and really forcing them to chew their food and making sure that they get plenty of saliva on it before they swallow it. And then the last thing that you can do for a horse that, you know, is a chronic choker or really prone to choking is go ahead and just put a little water in that food and just go ahead and make a little bit of a mash or just wet it a little bit. That'll make it so that the horse doesn't have to produce quite as much saliva in order to get that horse or that food to be lubricated completely. And then it'll also help start the breakdown process of that food so that when they do go to chew it with those molars, they don't have to take as many chews before they can swallow and be safe. And then just keep in mind, I mean, once a horse chokes, especially if they happen to get, you know, a little bit of tearing or anything like that in the esophagus, that can cause some scar tissue. And that then will make them more likely to choke in the future. So that's why sometimes you might find someone that has a horse and he just always chokes. Well, it may be that he's had some pretty severe choking situations in the past that have then caused that scar tissue and some blockage that doesn't allow his esophagus to work appropriately or to give it enough space or room for the food to be swallowed appropriately. So for those horses, you know, definitely it's recommended that you wet their food just a little bit before you feed. You know, one thing that I have people ask occasionally is, you know, if I've got a horse that chokes, do I need to avoid pellets and do I need to avoid beet pulp? And the answer is no. You know, so sometimes I think people, believe that beet pulp expands in the esophagus or in the stomach. It doesn't. They think that pellets expand in the esophagus or stomach. And again, it doesn't. So the key with those is just they both have a high dry matter content. And so the horse has to get a good grind. So number one, make sure that those teeth are well maintained and functioning properly. And then secondly, just making sure that horse is keeping that food in his mouth long enough to get enough saliva kind of activated with that food. And if they're not doing that, if you've got an aggressive eater, the best thing you can do is just wet that feed a little bit and make sure that, you know, you're doing the hard work for them. And, you know, then use those slow feeder buckets. I mean, do everything that you can to kind of help slow them down. Okay, so I'm throwing a word at you guys. It's the foregut. And I want to make sure that everyone understands the term foregut. Okay, so foregut. I think that we talk, you know, I think people are really comfortable with the term hindgut. At least it's a word that a lot of people use, but nobody uses the word foregut. And so, you know, I want to make sure that you guys understand there are kind of two regions in the horse's digestive system. The foregut, which is the stomach and the small intestine, and then the hindgut, which is basically the cecum, large colon, small colon, okay? So there's two very distinct areas. They function very differently from one another, and there are a ton of things that can happen in both locations to cause a horse to go downhill. So there's a lot to look out for. So I am going to focus first on the foregut, particularly with this episode, and then I have a feeling that it's going to require a second episode for me to cover the hindgut. So I'm going to go ahead and just break it up into two segments for you guys. So starting with the stomach, again, the stomach and the small intestine are the two components of the foregut. The stomach holds about 2 to 4 gallons. So if you think about it, that's really not much. Okay. So, I mean, if you think about putting two gallons of milk, you know, together, that's, you know, for the size of the horse, that's really not that big of a stomach, right? So sometimes I think one of the mistakes that we can make is feeding those horses really big meals at once. Horses actually do best when you can offer multiple small meals and then basically give them, you know, and when I say meals, I'm talking about the grain portion. So splitting that feed up into, you know, no more than 4, maybe 5 pounds at a time would be kind of the maximum amount that I would feed to a horse at one time. And if you can keep that number smaller, I mean, if you can go, depending on how nutrient dense your grain is, I mean, there are some feeds out there that are really nutrient dense. And so you can feed them, you know, in just 2 or 3 pound feedings, you know, so like Intensify Omega Force is one of them that's like that. You know, for a performance horse, so for a 1,000 pound performance horse, the daily feeding rate of Intensify Omega Force is only 4 pounds. So that means you can break that up into 2 feedings that are each just 2 pounds. So that's a really small, amount. Okay. So to give you a little perspective around that, you know, those square 3-quart plastic grain scoops that people use all the time to feed horses, one of those completely full holds about 4 pounds of Omega Force. And so, you know, basically half a scoop morning, half a scoop at night, that in itself is going to cover that horse's, you know, vitamin and mineral requirements and amino acids, et cetera. And then all you have to do is give them access to good quality forage. And horses do best, their stomach does best, when they can have continual access to that forage. So eating small bites continually throughout the day. So if you've got a horse that, you know, eats fast, or if you have a horse that maybe tends to eat too much or is a little bit of an easy keeper, you know, definitely utilize those slow feeder hay nets so that that horse can still have access to hay for as many hours throughout the day as possible. But they aren't going to overconsume it at the rate that they would if that hay was just available there, you know, completely all at once. So, back to the stomach. So there are two portions in the stomach. There's the upper portion, which is covered in squamous mucosa, and then the lower portion is covered in glandular mucosa. Okay, so those are the two. That's the difference in the regions of the stomach. So it's an upper versus a lower. Okay, so the gastric acid is what sits in that lower portion, and the glandular, the glandular lining of that stomach is what protects that stomach from the extremely acidic gastric acid. Okay, one thing that saliva is really good for is being a natural buffer to that stomach acid. So again, if a horse is allowed to eat continuously throughout the day, grazing hay, that's going to be their most natural situation, number one. It's going to keep them from getting bored, number two. But then thirdly, it's going to be a constant supply of saliva. Okay, so a horse actually only really produces saliva when they're chewing. And so if a horse is sitting there not eating anything, he's also not producing an adequate amount of saliva that would then be swallowed and act as a natural buffer to the stomach, okay? Now, there's a lot of horses out there that don't have the ability or the luxury or the setup or whatever to eat, you know, continuously throughout the day. So there are some things that can be done to help a horse sort of counteract that gastric acid. So there's one, there's a particular type of ingredient out there, and it kind of, it goes by a lot of names depending on who's selling it, right? So seaweed-derived calcium, you might see it listed as seaweed meal, red algae, or lithothamnium, okay? So basically those names are all referencing a very unique source of seaweed that basically has this honeycomb structure, which makes it really effective at buffering the stomach acid. Okay, so that particular ingredient is actually included in Equiline ProCare. It was recently even added to the Intensified Growth and Development because it has some really positive effects on bone health and bone turnover and bone quality. And then that ingredient is also a major component of the new foregut supplement called GastroFix, which Stride Animal Health is about to launch. So another option that you have for dealing with stomach acid is omeprazole, okay? So the most common and the only FDA-approved approach to actually treating gastric ulcers is through the use of the drug omeprazole. Now, the trade names for omeprazole are GastroGuard and UlcerGuard, okay? So basically, those are proton pump inhibitors, and they basically... they switch off the acid pumps in the stomach, and basically that allows then the horse time to heal those ulcers, okay? There's actually also, so if you want to take a little bit different approach, okay, there's really promising research out there that was conducted by the veterinary research team at Iowa State, and they found that feeding oral plasma, so it would be the same plasma that's found in Lifeline Plus, that plasma significantly reduces the occurrence of gastric ulcers, okay? So for those of you who want to take more of a preventative approach, or if you need or want, you know, more of a drug-free, you know, a follow-up program after you've done your routine of omeprazole, I highly recommend the supplement called Lifeline Plus because it's the only equine-safe form of oral plasma that's available in the United States. And then another thing that you can do to kind of help combat some of that gastric acid is, you know, I encourage people to feed just a small meal to their horses before you ride. And so basically the reason that I recommend that is if a horse is ridden on an empty stomach, you've got all of that gastric acid that's just sitting in the stomach kind of sloshing around, and it can actually slosh up onto that upper portion, that squamous portion, and that is where those ulcers can really start to develop. So if you give that horse a small meal, and it can be something as simple as alfalfa pellets, or it could be as advanced as that new GastroFix supplement, You know, just giving that horse a little bit of a buffer and something kind of helps settle that gastric acid can go a really long way in basically settling that horse's stomach and helping prevent that acid from sloshing up with, and then creating ulcers. So I know that in previous episodes, I've made comments that Stride Animal Health was coming out with a new gastric supplement. So I just leaked the name of it. It's actually going to be called GastroFix, and Fix is spelled P-H-I-X. So it's a play on the pH of the stomach. So GastroFix is the name of the supplement. I believe that it'll be available to the public very soon. I know that the mill was making runs of it this week, and the tags are done. All of that's done. So I think the marketing group was working on, you know, just the informational materials and working on getting that all on the website, making sure that NASC was happy with the wording of everything. So just kind of doing all of the checks and balances to make sure that everything on there is appropriate. But be looking for that. It's coming. And I promise I will do a devoted podcast episode to GastroFix and the unique ingredients in it and how it can be used and why you would want to use it, where you would apply it, all that kind of stuff. So, okay, moving on then from the small from the stomach, we go to the small intestine. And the small intestine, so it's basically, it's about 70 feet long, okay, and about 70% of the digestion actually occurs here, okay? It is a very important piece of the digestive tract. So food stays in the small intestine for, roughly, 30 minutes to an hour. So if you think about it, that's actually not a lot of time. Especially when you think about how much of the nutrient extraction and absorption needs to take place here. Okay, so I would say that the main problem with the small intestine is that, basically whatever goes in that horse's mouth ends up going straight into the body. Okay, so that's why you need to have a really good quality food for a horse, right? So, if you think about cattle or goats, so those animals are called ruminants. They are incredibly lucky. Okay. So they don't have a stomach that the food goes into once they swallow it. They have a rumen. And that rumen contains microbes. And those microbes are really good at synthesizing or creating things like amino acids and B vitamins and things that fuel the body. Okay. It's just think about the rumen as kind of like this magic gatekeeper that turns really bad things into really good things for the cow or the goat or whatever, deer, whatever ruminant you're thinking about. Well, the horses they don't have that luxury, okay? So whatever they swallow gets hit with a little gastric acid, and then basically it goes straight to the small intestine where the horse is supposed to absorb it. So that's why, when you're looking at the quality of equine feeds, you want to make sure that there's a good quality amino acid profile, okay? Because those amino acids, the horse doesn't have the ability to create his own amino acids before the food hits the small intestine. Okay, so you need to have good amino acids in the diet. I really like to see feeds have a B vitamin profile in the diet. Okay, so the NRC actually has recommendations for two B vitamins, riboflavin and thiamine. There's also really good research out there on biotin that shows that, it has really positive effects for hoof health, mane and tail and coat quality. Okay. And then a lot of times horse feeds will have some extra fat, okay, added. So that's basically acting as an extra calorie source. Okay, so with horses, you basically just need to make sure that whatever you're putting in them that first time is of good quality nutrition, because that's what they're going to absorb. So for those of you who maybe have had experience feeding cattle or been around cattle or other ruminants, basically you can take some less than desirable hay and give that to those animals, and they thrive on it, right? If you take less than desirable hay and give that to a horse, they fall apart on it, okay? And the reason for that is it's because of the way that their digestive system is designed. So a horse is basically completely backwards from that of a cow. So the rumen portion of a horse would be basically like the cecum. So the cecum of the horse is like the rumen of the cow. But in a cow, you go to the rumen and then the small, well, there's other routes, but basically you go from the four compartments of the cow into the small intestine. So you get, that cow gets all of these opportunities to basically break down, extract, synthesize, you know, do all of this magical maneuvers with the food. Then they send it to their small intestine where all of that really good stuff can be absorbed. Well, in the horse, you just go straight to the small intestine and they absorb whatever's available. Then they send the rest of their food to the cecum or the hindgut portion. And that's where they then try the best they can to break down that fiber and salvage some, you know, some VFAs. So that it's called volatile fatty acids. Basically, that's the horse's energy source. So another way to think of it is that's what fuels the body. Okay. Gives them the energy or the fuel that they need. So horses are just, they're just not super efficient when it comes to food. So that's why it's really important that you feed very high quality hay to horses and that you also feed a very high quality grain to a horse. Now that's one problem that a horse has in the small intestine, but there's another problem, a second problem that is equally, if not more important. And this problem happens primarily in stressed horses, okay? So when I say stressed, that can mean different things to different horses, all right? So in some horses, it can be heat stress, okay? So if you live in Florida or Arizona, you know, the summers are pretty intense in both of those places. And there's many other parts of the country where the summers are pretty terrible. That heat stress can actually cause problems in that small intestine. And the problem that is caused is called leaky gut. Okay, so leaky gut is basically where that horse will start to, the tight junctions will start to separate. The stress can actually cause that horse to start to slough their intestinal lining. Okay, so when a horse starts to slough or shed those intricate microvilli that line that small intestine, that severely reduces their ability to absorb nutrition. Okay. So then also when you end up with separation of those tight junctions, okay, that then can allow pathogens and any other unwanted components to actually enter the body, okay? So that defense barrier isn't working the way that it should. So all of that can then lead to intestinal inflammation. It can lead to ulceration. And I mean, ultimately it can cause basically a systemic meltdown that affects areas of the body that you would never even imagine, okay? So for example, allergies can actually be related to leaky gut. And there are just a whole host of other things that can go wrong within the body that can all be tied back to these malfunctions within the small intestine. And for anybody that's interested, and I'm sure that we've got listeners out there that are dealing with leaky gut themselves. So hop on Google and just do a Google search for leaky gut and the symptoms and the causes and what all it can be related to. I mean, in the human world, you know, things like thyroid function, acne, depression, mental illness, you know, there are all kinds of things that the health of the gut and the health of that intestinal lining can actually be tied back into. So what do you do? If you've got a horse that you suspect may have leaky gut, or if you want to do everything you can to prevent leaky gut. So if you've got a horse that is in a high stress situation, so I mentioned heat stress already, but other high stress situations are things simply like being stalled, loading into a trailer, traveling on the weekends, you know, high levels of performance. These are all things that a horse wouldn't normally naturally do. We've modernized them and asked them to do these things, and it can be really stressful on these horses. So if you've got a horse that's doing any of those things, like every one of us do, those horses are going to be more likely or more predisposed to developing things like leaky gut. Okay. So I lean pretty heavily on plasma. I also really like butyric acid. I like L-glutamine and I like zinc. Okay. And the reason for that is all of those have research supporting their ability to physically improve or close those tight junctions and to improve the health of that intestinal lining. They can actually help stimulate the production or the growth of the microvilli. Okay. So I mentioned earlier that horses will start to slough some of their lining and slough that microvilli. It'll start to die off. Those supplements are actually can help regenerate some of those cells and help that microvilli grow back. That then improves how much nutrition can be absorbed out of the diet. And then, of course, can help serve as a defense barrier to keep pathogens and other unwanted things out of the body, you know, by keeping those tight junctions closed and sealed and functioning properly. So, you know, there's a lot of other ingredients out there that have really good secondary benefits. But I like those four that I mentioned just because, you know, they basically get right to the root of the problem and they help heal that, you know, that damaged microvilli, and they help close those gapped tight junctions. Okay. So for those of you who might be looking to prevent leaky gut or to provide support, you know, to a horse that might already have a compromised small intestine, I highly recommend getting them going on Lifeline Plus because it contains the plasma. And then I generally recommend for those horses, generally at least a 3 to 6 month protocol on GI Calm. And I do that because GI Calm incorporates those things like the butyric acid, the zinc, the L-glutamine, all in levels that have been shown to be effective at reducing those clinical symptoms and kind of getting that horse back to their normal self, so to speak. So I did a webinar on leaky gut, and I had recorded the webinar, and I actually uploaded that audio from it to this podcast. So I think it was really early. I think it was episode maybe 2 or 3 or 4. So you can definitely go check that out if you want to, you know, if you want to watch the actual webinar on leaky gut. You can find that by going to bluebonnetfeeds.com and then just click on the resources tab. And then from there, there's a webinar link. And so if you go there, you can get to that leaky gut webinar and learn a little bit more about it. And then there's actually a lot of other webinars available at that same link that you guys might find interesting. So they're all free. And you can get just as, so I guess that's another point is, you know, don't feel like you have to sit in front of a computer and watch, you know, an hour long webinar. I feel like you can get just as much out of listening to that webinar as you can watching. So, you know, the important part is just make sure that you get the information, because leaky gut is certainly something that is here. It's something that we are learning more about. We're understanding more about. There's a lot of research that's been focused towards it. Right now, there's not a good definitive diagnosis for it, but I feel like we are definitely on that track. I think that, you know, I don't know when, I don't know if it's 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, but I feel like there's going to be something that comes out that is going to help us and allow us to more definitively diagnose leaky gut. But in the meantime, the best that we can do as horse owners is understand the symptoms, understand, you know, what causes it, understand what those stress triggers are, and then, you know, understand what the signs look like for a horse that's dealing with it. So it could be something as simple as, you know, the horse just being cinchy or irritable or not letting you want to brush them under their belly. You know, it could be a horse that's starting to get stiff to one direction. You know, there's lots of different signs that horses will give you. And if you think that your horse might be dealing with leaky gut, I encourage you guys, you know, you can reach out for a free nutrition consult. So this, nutrition consultants at Bluebonnet Feeds are all ready and willing. You can submit a nutrition consult for free. Okay. You can do that by going to the bluebonnetfeeds.com website and then, just click on the nutrition consult tab. There'll be some questions that you'll need to fill out just to give us that history on your horse, kind of help us understand, you know, what made you reach out for this to begin with. And then once you submit that, then one of the consultants will get back in touch with you to kind of go through your program and make their recommendations on what you might want to try, or just to tell you that, hey, you're doing, everything looks good, you know, and as long as you have no concerns about your horse, what the nutritional program you have them on is A-okay. So it can go all kinds of directions, but if you're interested in that, it's free of charge. It's virtual. So definitely get on and check that out. And then, before I sign off, if you feel like you are learning anything from these podcasts, or if you think that there are others, if you have friends that you think could learn from these episodes, please, please, please share them on social media and use the hashtag #FeedRoomChemist. So I appreciate all of you guys. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Feed Room Chemist. If you like what you hear, be sure to share with your friends, post to social media, or give us a review. And as Winston Churchill used to say, no hour of life is wasted that is spent in the saddle. So go saddle up.